And so I shared, I praise God. Our calling is reaching the lost for Jesus Christ and equipping the churches in the USA to reach Muslim for Jesus. And our vision is taken from Hebrews 13:3. Can we say it together? Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourself were suffering. As we are celebrating this Sunday to pray for the persecuted church, you know, please understand the Word of God tells us that we should be feeling the pain of those brothers and sisters, those who are suffering for their faith in Jesus Christ. Bible says we are the parts of body, you know, the different parts, and we make a one body, and the body of Jesus Christ. Amen? You know, some may be acting like a hand, some may be acting like a feet, you know. And, you know, yesterday, you know, Brother Phil brought me, you know, from Chicago, and he is a part of the body, you know, amen to that. He is the part of that body which transported from one place to another place. You know, praise the Lord for that. But this is something we need to understand, that we all are, you know, working together to bring glory to Lord Jesus Christ. And the only time we will not have any pain in the part of our bodies if that part of the body is dead. You understand? The dead of that part of the body will not feel the pain. But if we are alive in Christ Jesus, we will feel the pain of those brothers and sisters, those who are suffering for their faith in Jesus Christ. So I will encourage you to remember the suffering brothers and sisters in your prayer. But how you can really and specifically pray for these brothers and sisters, those suffering for their faith in Jesus Christ? Let me give you a map here, the world map. You know, all the countries in the orange color are the countries where Christians are suffering for their faith in Jesus Christ. It's a 10-40 window. All the Muslim countries, the communist countries, where, you know, these people are persecuting the Christian brothers and sisters in those countries. So please, you know, pray for those countries like China, you know, Pakistan, Indonesia, all these countries. You know, there's a lot of persecution in those countries. And I will encourage you to remember them, you know, in your prayer. And how you can get a map? You know, let me explain to you. If you will sign up for Voice of the Martyrs, how many of you are on the list for Voice of the Martyrs? Oh, praise God, number of people. I will encourage you, you know, this is something you should be really praying for the persecuted brother, sister. You know, this is something when you will start receiving those magazine, which is a free of charge from Voice of the Martyrs, you will be able to read their stories, and those stories are going to build your faith, and then you will be praying for those brothers and sisters and really, you know, help you to, you know, feel their pain and pray in a such a way, and it will build your faith. It's really going to be a powerful, powerful thing. And I believe that when persecution comes on your way here in the United States, you know that how these people have suffered for their faith and how they stood up for their faith in Jesus Christ and how you can stand up for your faith in Jesus Christ. This is really a tool, an educational thing for you to be prepared for future. This is very, very important. And then a couple things I'd like to mention, as Pastor already have mentioned. I want to send you the copy of the Quran, electronic copy of the Quran, electronic summary of the Quran, you know, electronic e-book called Sharia, the Threat to America. You know, there are a lot of video clips. Let me tell you, when I will send you the links of those video clips, download those video clips in your computer, because sometime in future, I know, you know, that the government of the United States will not have those, you know, the video clips, you know, on the YouTube and all those. Because I have gathered all those clips for you to watch those. But they may remove those, you know, because we are very pretty, you know, very much inclined toward the Muslim. Our government is very pro-Islamic, you know, please understand. And there's a book called, you know, Sleeping with the Devil by a former CIA, you know, Robert Baer. You know, all the president, Democrats and Republicans are in the back pocket of the Saudis. So please understand, they have sold their souls. So, you know, make sure that when you receive those video clips downloaded into your computer, that you will have the evidence, you know. You know, don't just keep the link. So that will be really great. And then I will also be sending you my teaching notes on Islam. So please, you know, get all those information and start reading and using it and exposing it and going and sharing the gospel. My first responsibility is, number one, to protect you, because you are brothers and sisters. Amen? Second responsibility, to encourage you to go out and preach the gospel to the Muslims. Amen? You know, first I need to take care of my family. Praise Jesus. If my family is protected, that's my first job. You and my family. Amen? Are we? Yes? Okay, don't worry if I don't look like you. You know, when I was doing my medical studies, I was planning to be a medical doctor. I will be sharing my story. But, you know, when I was doing my medical studies, I found a different types of blood, like A positive, B positive. But when I became Christian, I found another type of blood, and that is called J positive. Amen? That we all have a J positive. Glory to Jesus. And because of that J positive, we are a family. Praise the Lord. That is so wonderful. I will encourage you to get my book, Fearless Love in the Midst of Terror, which will help you to stay bold, strong, and it will help you to understand these informations. I also have a DVD, which is really, really important for you to get this. You know, Holy War Jihad includes the maps of all the terror cells in America. You know, their names, under what names they are operating, you know, how they are linked with Al-Qaeda, how they are linked with Hamas, all those, you know, how many terror cells are in the Chicago area, you know, Milwaukee area, these, you know, things you will find out. So I will encourage you to, you know, get this DVD. It's very, very important. Then the, you know, the position of a woman in Islam. You know, there was not a single church where I have not found that somebody told me that their sister, a cousin, a daughter, a granddaughter have married a Muslim. Oh man, when I hear that, I really get sad. This is the most saddest news. You know, I don't want to hear that. You know, but, you know, it's something. You know, people, they tell me, oh, the guy is very nice, he's very good, you know. Doesn't matter. Bible says you're not supposed to be unequally yoked. Amen? I will encourage you to come tonight. It's very, very important for you. I mean, how Muslims are allowed to lie, how Muslims are told in the Quran to pretend to be a nice, a peace-loving when they are in minority, when they don't have weapons to fight against their enemies. So we're going to learn tonight and how Muslims are infiltrating in our system. So I will encourage you to, you know, come back tonight. It's very, very important. And we will talk about, you know, our current president and show you, you know, who he is, and the previous president, you know, what he has done. So please come back tonight. Do you like to learn that? Yes. Praise the Lord. You know? Okay, so the position of a woman in Islam, she's a second-class citizen. You know, please, I will beg you, sisters, those who are single, you know, and those who have daughters, I will encourage you to get the DVDs, because this is very, very important. Protect your daughters. Protect your granddaughters. Protect your sisters. They need to know, you know, what is the position of a woman in Islam. Don't ever marry, don't ever date a Muslim, even if you have a 20 gas station, okay? Don't ever do that. Okay, the sharing the gospel with the Muslim is, you know, the last, you know, to DVDs, you know, please watch that. And Iran Desk for God, six stories of six Muslims from Iran, how they became Christian. Let me tell you something. God is really moving in the Muslim countries today. Over 6 million Muslims are becoming Christians by having visions and the dreams of Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? Praise the Lord. 80% of the Muslims are becoming Christian by having visions and dreams of Lord Jesus Christ. Out of those 6 million Muslims every year. But the sad part is, over 33 Muslim children are born every year in the world. Within every 11 days, 1 million Muslim children are born in the Muslim homes. This is what is happening.
I dare to tell him, Father, the story of a Muslim woman from Pakistan, how she became Christian. This is a very interesting story. She asked her maidservant to bring the Bible. She was a Christian maidservant. Because Christians, they don't get a good job. Most of them, they are involved in the menial jobs. So she said, you know, why don't you bring your Bible? And she was so scared. Then this lady said, you know, if you will not bring the Bible, I'm going to fire you from your job. So you have to bring the Bible. She brought the Bible. She started reading the Bible. And then she asked a question to God. God, which book is your book? Bible or the Quran? And God asked her this question. In which book you have found me as a father? She said, I found you as a father in the Bible. And God said, that is my book. That is my word. And she became Christian. And what happened? Then she found out that she should be baptized. Amen? Once you give your life to Jesus, what is the next step? Hello? Sometimes people will argue, you know, that the robber didn't baptize. He didn't, you know, he was not baptized. Okay, he was on the cross. You guys are not on the cross. Hello? If you're on the cross, okay, we will let you, you know, go. But if you are not on the cross, you must. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, you really understand what it really means to be baptized in a Muslim country. It is something that you really are demonstrating that you are renouncing all of your allegiance, all of your links from your previous, you know, religion. I remember when I took an oath to become a U.S. citizen, you know, that is what one thing I need to be saying. You know, I'm renouncing all of my allegiance and the relationship with all the foreign governments and authorities and, you know, praise the Lord. That is something we need to be doing. Amen. Praise the Lord. So what happened? The next step, she wants to be baptized. Nobody was willing to be baptized because she was the wife of a military general. So what she did? She filled a tub with water and she sat in the tub. And she dipped herself. She said, Bukhi Sheikh, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. She baptized herself. It's a very powerful story. So I'll encourage you to get the book. And then Into the Den of Infidel. 8 stories of 8 Muslims from Egypt. How they became Christian. And there's another, you know, website. You can go morethanadream.com and you can hear the story, watch the stories. That would be really, really great. You know, you can visit on my website. You know, and I come from a country called Islamic Republic of Pakistan. That is the official name of this country. Let me show you something. State religion in Pakistan is Islam. 97% people are Muslim. Minorities, including Christians, are 3%. You know, and Christians are second-class citizens. When they are second-class citizens because of their Christian faith, they don't get a good job because of their Christian faith. Most of them are involved in menial jobs, cleaning bathroom toilets, sweeping roads for the Muslims. Many the little girls are working in the Muslim homes as a maid servants, and they are abused on a daily basis by the hands of Muslims. Because Quran teaches to the Muslim, it's okay to sex with those girls, those who are working under their right hand. This is what is in the Quran. And so that's why I say this is an evil book. You know, and many other Christians, some of the other Christians, they are, you know, making bricks for the Muslims, like the people of Israel when they were in Egypt. And they are persecuted by the hands of Muslims also there. You know, let me show you the map where it's located. Pakistan is right next to Afghanistan, Tajikistan, China, India, Iran. And I was born right in the middle of the country, you know, here somewhere. And grew up there. And as I was growing up, went in a government school. I was taught the Quran. And I was told that I should be reading the Quran only in Arabic language. because they believe the Arabic is a holy language. Everybody should be reading the Quran only in Arabic because that is the language of Prophet Muhammad, that is the language of Allah. So everybody should be reading the Quran in only Arabic language. It was very difficult for me in the first place because we don't speak Arabic in Pakistan. My national language is Urdu and my native language, is Punjabi. Then I can speak Hindi, and English is my fourth language. And then I was told that I should be reading the Quran in Arabic language. So I have to be memorizing and reading the Quran in Arabic. It was very difficult in the first place. But my Muslim teacher had a big long cane. He made me learn the Quran with that. I was beaten many, many times by the hands of my Muslim teacher. It was very severe beating, many times. My body, my back, bottom is, wounded, it's painful. And it was horrible. But anyway, I started memorizing the Quran. Let me show you how it looks like. You know what I was learning? The Quran teaches to the Muslim, fight against the Christians and the Jews. Many times the media, the government leader will tell you that, Islam bring harmony between the, all people. There's no such thing. Quran teaches, if somebody have any doubt about this, I have a Quran, actually in my computer I have a 20 translation and I have a hard copy here, printed in Saudi Arabia. If you think I'm not telling you the truth, you can find out, I can show you. The Quran teaches that they should be fighting against the Christians and the Jews. The Christians and the Jews are the most evil animals. They will abide in the hellfire. If you fight for the cause of Islam, Allah will be pleased. You should not be friend with the Jews and Christians. And if you die in jihad, your sins are going to be forgiven. And you will go to paradise. That's what Quran teaches. And that's what I was taught right from the great one. It was not some radicals they were teaching me. It was just the teaching of the Quran. It is not the Al-Qaeda, Hamas, and Hezbollah. Because the media want to confuse you. They will say, oh, just the radicals. They are misinterpreting. They are just, just giving you the wrong information. That is not true. Those radicals, the Osama bin Laden, the Hamas, the Hezbollah, all these Islamic Jihad, the Brotherhood, the Islamic Brotherhood, what they're doing, what Quran teaches them to do. For example, I met last night to Brother Phil, and if somebody say, this guy is a radical Christian, I understand. He's a radical Christian. He's not a moderate Christian. He is not a, something what the media will tell about the Muslim. He's a moderate Muslim, peace-loving. I know that, he's a peace-loving guy. He loves everybody, but he's not a peace-loving guy toward the sin. Amen? Praise the Lord. He is a radical because he loves Jesus. Radical mean in the Christian faith, the one who loves Jesus more than the lukewarm Christian. Amen? But in Islam, the radical mean the one who truly obey what is written in the Quran. That's what radical mean. The moderate also, they are a radical too. But, they are allowed to lie and pretend to be nice and peace-loving when they are in a minority. So please understand. Those are the things I was taught. And I was, as Pastor mentioned, I was taught that, I should be a martyr one day for my faith in Allah. After completing my high school, I went to college. I did my pre-med degree, and I was hoping to be a medical doctor. And I was, I thought, the best thing for me, I will be able to accomplish three things. Now I have, the pre-med degree, I should go to the military forces. Number one, because I have that degree, I will be, be going over there as officer. And to be officer in the military, it's something great, really, really, something really great. On the very first day, they gave me two soldiers as my servant to shine shoes, iron clothes, make bed for me. When we go in the dining rooms, waiters, they waiting on us, everything was so wonderful. Next thing was in my mind that know, I will be able to accomplish my medical college, medical degree, because it will be paid by the government. And the third thing, one day I will become a martyr. And we were told that India is your enemy. You know, praise God, I have an Indian brother. I love you, brother. You know, you're not my enemy anymore. Glory to Jesus. And, you know, Israel is your enemy. You know, all the West is your enemy. You should fight against these people. And if you die in jihad, your sin is going to be forgiven. You will go to paradise. And the reward you're going to get in paradise, that reward is only for the men. There's no reward for women. Please understand. So you shouldn't be, you know, marrying any Muslim, because your salvation is in the hand of your man. If you are 100% obedient, he will call you up. Otherwise, you will be burning in hell, according to the Quran. But the reward is only for the men. Every man who will die in jihad, he will go to paradise and he's going to get 72 virgin wives and he will be busy with them 24/7. That is the reward. I praise God. I have one wife. You know, not 72. Because God of the Bible, He only made a one Eve for Adam, not 72. Because if, you know, I don't know about this Allah who is giving a reward to these Muslims, 72, He's giving a reward, or He's going to be punishing them. I believe that is sort of punishment, not a reward. Anyway, let me take you the story. What happened when I went in the military, that time I was very passionate, you know, I was crazy, stupid, you know, and blind, because devil blinded my eyes. I was on my way to hell. And what happened? One morning when I woke up early in the morning, I heard an audible voice. You know, let me tell you something. The Muslim, they get up early in the morning between 4 and 5, you know, for the Muslim prayer. How many of you remember that Obama gave a speech to the school children and he told that he used to get up 4 in the morning for studies? I want to ask you, parents, how many of your children get up 4 o'clock in the morning for studies? Hello? Only the Muslim children get up early in the morning for the Muslim prayer. Understand that. He was just trying to deceive the American kids. You know, he used to get up 4 in the morning, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. And that morning I heard an audible voice calling me, this is not a right place for me, this job will lead me toward destruction. It was so powerful voice. It dropped me on my knees, and I prayed this prayer. I lift my hand. I said, oh God, if this is not your will for me to be in this place, please take me out of this place. You know, I have no idea, you know, what is happening. But I believe now that God of the Bible heard my prayer. It was the voice of God of the Bible, not from Allah, not from Muhammad. It was the voice of Lord Jesus Christ. And he took me out of that place. I didn't tell anybody what happened to me because I was afraid. If I would tell the people, they're going to be laughing at me. They might persecute me. So I didn't tell anybody. I was very quiet about that. So I went back to my studies. I did my degree in chemistry, became teacher, but no peace in my life. I quit the teaching job and went back and did my degree in journalism, but no peace. I also learned the music to play. I was able to play keyboard and the trumpet and accordion. But no peace. I used to go in the concert singing, but no peace. Finally, the peace came. And one night, when I was invited in a Christian meeting, which was out of town, and that was in the year of 93, the month was March, and the date was 14. 14th of March, 1993. When I was in my room, a Christian pastor came in my room and he shared the gospel. I praise God. You know, only Jesus said, come to me, all those who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest and peace. I praise God. Only Jesus claimed that He will grant us peace. He will give us rest. Mohammedan claimed to be the one who can give us peace and rest. Actually, when Muslims, they use the name Muhammad, they say, peace be upon him. But praise the Lord, our God Our Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Amen. Glory to Jesus. And that night, Jesus found me. You know, most of the time we say, you know, I found Jesus. No. You know, why? How come I can say, you know, I found Jesus? Jesus is not lost. I was lost. Amen? He found me that night. Praise God. I was lost. Glory to Jesus that He found me. And then He gave me the desire to read the Bible, which is the only Word of God. And He, you know, gave me the desire to pray and go out and start doing the street evangelism in Pakistan. And as I was doing the street evangelism in Pakistan, it was really an interesting and great experience. But what happened, on the very first time when some teenagers, they gave their life to Jesus, they went to their home, told to the parents, they were not happy about that, they invited me over, so I was very happy to go and see the parents. When I went there, the dad of those children, he took me in his room and locked the room and took a stick and started beating. And after lots of beating, he said, call your God to protect you. I have no idea what to say, but the Holy Spirit gave me the answer. I said, I don't hold anything against you. I forgive you because I have read in the Bible, love your enemies of those who persecute you, pray for them. When I said those things, he let me go. He said, after this meeting, I was really discouraged. I said, man, this is a very dangerous job to preach the gospel. I should not be doing this thing. And then I start praying this prayer. Oh God, I will go to church every Sunday. I will play the music there. I will be a choir leader, but don't ask me to be a preacher because this is a very dangerous job. So what happened next Sunday when I went back to my church that Sunday my pastor was preaching about Jonah, the prophet in the Old Testament. When I heard that sermon, man, I was so scared and convicted. I knew that the God has called me to be a preacher. I said, okay, God, I will be a preacher, but don't you know that the Christians cannot afford to have a preacher? You know, I was thinking about my job, you know, my potential job was to be a medical doctor, and, you know, you understand how much money the medical doctors makes. I said, God, don't you know that Christians are hardly making $20, $30 a month? How are they going to provide for me? You know, I was thinking that Christians are going to provide for me, you know. But the Lord said to me, read Matthew 6. You know, where it's written, look at the birds of the air. They have no harvest, stores, or barns, but I provide for them. Seek ye the kingdom of God and His righteousness. First of all, these things are going to be added unto you. I said, okay, God, I will follow you no matter what it takes. Let me share a story, you know, of this little girl. You know, Christians are forced to work, you know, on those brick factories. I wish, but there's so many families, Christian families, they want to be free. But we don't have any money to free these people. Can you imagine that you can free a family with $1,000 to $1,200 in Pakistan? Free these people. This little girl was forced to marry a 63 years old man, the Muslim man. When they resisted, her mother was cut into pieces and thrown in the furnace where they baked the bricks. Please. If you cannot do anything, please pray for these Christians. There's so many horrible things happen. You know, you can even contact me if you choose to freeze any of these, you know, in my sheet, you know, information there. You know, you can, in my email. So let me take you back my story. When I heard this message from the Lord, I said, okay, God, I will follow you no matter what. And God took me to Bible college, did my studies in the Bible college. Here's a man from South Africa here. Where's that brother from South Africa? You know, I was in Durban. You know, on Belo Road in Durban, Bible college. I did my studies there. Came back, started a church in I was in Durban in 95. And after completing my Bible college, I went back and started a church in Pakistan. And really, really, you know, amazing, amazing things happened. And we were on the roads most of the time, you know, sharing the gospel with the Muslims, the lost people there. And I know it was not an easy task But it was a noble task, the great task which Jesus has given to us. You know, we were sharing the gospel. I remember one time we distributed 4,000 gospels in 2 hours among the Muslims, the Gospel of John. And as we, you know, at the end of the day, I got caught, and they were really mad at me. You know, why am I doing this thing? Don't you know that this is a Muslim country? I'm not supposed to be doing this thing. And I opened my Bible and told, you know, the Bible tells me, Jesus said in Matthew 28:19-20, go into the whole world and preach the gospel to all the nations. That's why I'm doing this thing. They said, don't you know that this book is corrupt? This is changed. They want to throw me in a smelting pot, you know, where they're going to burn me, kill me. I say, you know, I have no idea. I was afraid. You know, I was afraid, you know, now I'll be dead. I'll be roasted in this smelting pot. I have no idea how to answer. But the Lord Holy Spirit gave me the answer that very moment. I said, you know, have you read this book? They said, no. Then I said, you know, why don't you guys read this book first? And if you find those errors or changes, please let us know. And here's my address. They said, that makes sense. And they let me go. You know, I praise Jesus. Remember what Jesus said? Don't worry when you will be presented before people. You know, don't worry what you have to say. The word will be given to you that very moment. You know, please understand the days of our lives are all numbered. Nobody can kill us if God will not allow us. Amen? Don't you believe in the sovereignty of God? Hello? Then why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? If you guys believe in the sovereignty of God, why are you afraid that you will be fired from your job if you will talk about Jesus? You know, many people are afraid. They walk in a cowardness. You know, brother, I really like what you guys believe. But if you believe in the sovereignty of God, don't you understand nobody can fire you from your job if God will not allow that, you know, that thing to happen. Amen? How many of you, you know, sometimes American brothers and sisters, they meet me, they say, you know, we have a Muslim doctor, I'm working for this Muslim doctor. I said, have you ever shared the gospel with that Muslim doctor? They said, oh, he's a doctor. I said, so what do you mean by that? If he's a doctor, don't you think that he needs to be saved? Please understand, you know, if somebody have more money, if somebody have a higher position, we are afraid. But remember, you know, we have a responsibility to share the gospel. It's very, very important. And you believe in the sovereignty of God. If God is not a sovereign, then don't share the gospel. You know, if God is a sovereign God, then you must share the gospel. Let me tell you something. If you believe in the sovereignty of God, okay. But you are afraid because you will be fired from your job. Do you really believe in that, in the sovereignty of God or not? If you don't believe in the sovereignty of God, then you're saying, God, you're a liar. How many of you like to say that? Hello? But when you're not doing that, you're simply telling God that you're a liar. I don't really believe in you. I have to protect my own job with my own action. I have to protect my family. I have to protect my wife. I have to protect, my property. God is going to be protecting you. Amen? Let God do the job. Don't do anything for Him. Amen? He is able to handle everything for you. Praise the Lord. Glory to Jesus. When we were working there, preaching the gospel, people were giving the life to Jesus. We baptized many people. Then what happened? We were accused by the Muslim that we have torn the pages of the Quran and have written evil things against Muhammad. They spread that news about us that we have done those things. Within 2-3 hours, around about 70 to 80,000 Muslims with the 400 Pakistani government police, they came and first of all they started looting and robbing our houses, abusing the Christian girls and all sorts of evil things they did. And then they started burning our house. They burned down our 1,500 Christian homes. 13 church buildings were destroyed, bombed, nothing was left. 20,000 Christians in those areas lost everything. You know, see this. You know what happened on that day? It happened on February 6, 1997. Everything we have were gone. Nothing was left. They even attacked on our animals, like cows and other animals were burned alive by the hands of Muslims that morning on February 6, 1997, on Thursday morning. And I was in one of the towns which was under the attack of Muslim people. When I saw the mob is coming, they were shouting, killed the Christian, burned the home, destroyed the churches. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar means Allah is greater. Allah is greater. I knew that I am going to be killed this morning. But I lift my hands for heaven. I said, Father God, if this is the day for me to die, I am willing to die for you. But help me when these Muslims come to kill me. I will not deny your name because your word says, be faithful unto death and I will give you the crown of life. Bible says, if you will confess me before people, I will also confess you before my Father in heaven. And if you will deny me, I will also deny you. How many of you want that Jesus will be talking with the Father about you in heaven? Can I see the hands? Hello, then what he wants you to be doing here on this earth? That you should be talking with the people about him. Hello? Hello? This is what he wants. If you want him to be talking about you in heaven with the Father, he wants us to be talking with the people about him. And if you're not doing that, we're denying him. He said, if you will lose your life for my sake, you will find it. Praise God. You know, that morning, God spared my life. Because God is a sovereign. He chose not. That morning, he chose not me to be killed. He spared my life for this morning. Amen. Remember, Bible says his time was not come yet. My time was not come yet that time. Praise the Lord. I don't know when it'll be. But, you know, Bible says, we need to be ready. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I used to say, Lord Jesus, let your name Jesus be glorified in my life. No, I pray, Lord God, not only in my life, not only through my life, but even through my death, your name Jesus be glorified. We were back in our town. Nothing was left. Everything was gone. You know, it reminded me of the story of Nehemiah when he heard that, you know, the walls of Jerusalem are destroyed, the gates are burned. When I saw my hometown, which was totally demolished, destroyed, nothing was left, we wept. And there's another thing happened. My younger daughter, she was only 4 days old when my hometown was burned by the Muslims. That happened in the month of February, the cold month. It was difficult. But remember, Jesus said, I will not leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you always. He was there. We have a Sunday morning worship service right after 3 days without the church building. No chairs. No building. No fans. No air conditioning. No heating. You know? 20,000 people came for Sunday morning worship service. All those who lost everything. And the Lord led me to preach to them. Love your enemies and those who persecute you. Pray for them. It was difficult to preach that sermon that Sunday morning. We just think, how are you going to love the Muslims? Those who have burned your home. I mean, we don't have a home insurance over there. Those homes were burned, you know, they're built by the great-great-grandparents. We have no home insurance. How are you going to have, you know, these homes to be rebuilt? How are you going to love those people, those that burned your homes? How are you going to, you know, okay, home is one thing, especially the big insult, the terrible thing is when somebody abuses your daughter, a sister, a mother, a wife. How are you going to love and forgive those people? Church, I am very sad. When I came to the United States, I was pretty sad about the condition of the church in the United States. I don't see any difference between the church and the world in the United States. It looks to me the same. The divorce rate in the church is higher than the world. And I was just sharing with my host family this morning, even the divorce in the church in Pakistan is almost a crime. Zero. Hello? Do you still love me? I know that some of you may be mad at me, but you know, we need to not be the part of the world, because we are chosen out of the world. You know? Jesus said, you know, because of me, they're going to hate you. If nobody's hating us, then it means we are still in the world. We have not came out of the world if people are not hating us because of His name. Bible says anybody who wants to live a righteous life will be persecuted. If we're not persecuted, it means that we're not living a righteous life. Hello? Do you still love me? Praise the Lord. Please understand. We have to go back to the Bible. Bible is the only authority for our Christian faith. You know what happened? I preached. You know, praise the Lord, the Spirit of God was so strong there. We prayed. We said, Father, we don't hold anything against those Muslims. We love those Muslims. We forgive them. They have done those things in ignorance. After 5 months, I got a call from the Bible college we had studied in South Africa. I took my wife and two little babies. On July 1997, we went back to South Africa and shared the story. This is your map, you know, the previous country. You know, brother. We went there and we went to Johannesburg. Then we stayed in Pongat and then La Mercy and Durban, all those areas. As we went there, the church, when they heard the story, you know, what happened to us, the church was very grieved. And they said, why Muslims have done those things? The answer is very simple. They don't know Jesus. The church decided to go and protest against the government of Pakistan right in front of the Pakistani embassy. When the ambassador, you know, saw these Christians protesting, he asked them, who gave you all this information about the burnt town in Pakistan? These Christians have no idea. They told my name to him, then he told back to the government of Pakistan, you know, and and then my name came in a newspaper, a wanted person on a hit list. I was not able to go back to Pakistan anymore. I cried on that day. I said, oh Lord, why are you allowing this thing to happen with us? I will not be able to see my brothers or sisters, my church people anymore. And the Lord reminded me, if I love my father and mother more than me, I am not worthy of me. I have not seen them more than 13 years. But this year, the Lord has opened this door for me. You know, as if you have received this sheet, on the other side of the sheet, there's information, you know, how God opened the door for me that I could be able to see my parents after 13 years. I'm going to be seeing them in Sri Lanka, not in Pakistan, because I'm going to be bringing them from Pakistan to Sri Lanka, and I'm going to be going over there and also holding a seminar. So please, please, I will beg you to remember us in your prayer. Special prayer for the protection that as I will go there, you know, God will protect us and protect the people over there, those who are coming. You know, besides my parents, there are going to be 7 other pastors coming from Pakistan. So please pray for that, you know. Here's the information. So, and dates and everything is written to remember us in your prayer during that time. So, what happened when all these things were happening, and my name was on the newspaper, you know, the local Muslims started to persecute us. You know, brother, you know, the brother from Cape Town, you know, what is your name, brother? Al. You know, okay. You know, in Durban, there's the International Islamic Propagation Center run by Ahmad Didat. Have you heard that name? you know, the Islamic Propagation Center in Durban. You know, okay. You know, they get millions of dollars from Saudi Arabia, and they go to the poor people and give them the money, and, you know, and tell them to become Muslim and change their names, and all those kind of things are happening. And, you know, local Muslims started to persecute us. We have to run for our lives from one place to another place. I remember I was told that, you know, the Muslims are coming to kill me, and we have to run for our lives, you know, from Tonga to Richmond, South Africa. And, you know, we went there, and I met a Christian medical doctor. He said, you know, his name is Dr. Colon. He said, you know, I'd like you to come and stay with me and my family, but there's something I want you to do. You know, you should be preaching in my medical clinic every morning before I will see the patients. I said, sure, I will do that. And praise God, I started to preach in his medical clinic. People were giving their life to Jesus. We took the people from the medical clinic to the swimming pool, baptizing them. Glory to Jesus. And then Muslim, they found out about me that I am in this town, and they caught me there. They had a plan to take me to the mosque. They had a plan to kill me over there. But God spared my life from the hands. Then we fled from that town to a big city called Johannesburg. We were living there for a couple of months. Then the South African government, they told us they cannot keep us anymore because Muslims are not happy with them. The Pakistani government is not happy with them. So they have to send us back to Pakistan. We said, we cannot go back to Pakistan. If we go there, they're going to kill us. They said, sorry, we cannot help you. Then we went to the U.S. consulate for help. They refused to help us. They said, according to our law, you should be back in your own country to apply for your visas for United States. In order to apply for your visa from South Africa, you should be a South African citizen. You should have a South African passport. You should have a job here. You should have a property here. You should have a good bank account here. All those things. We said, we don't have any of those things. They said, sorry, we cannot help you. You have to go back in your own country to apply for your visas for United States. Then we went to the United Nations office. They refused to help us. We only had 15 days left. And after 15 days, we will be deported back to Pakistan and will be killed. I told my wife, I am ready to die for Jesus. She said to me, she's ready to die for Jesus. But what about our children? A thought came in my mind. Oh God, put in somebody's heart that they could adopt our children. We don't know what's going to happen to us. At least they will be alive. You know, the same, we were in a kind of similar situation. Like the two ladies were brought before Solomon, and the real mother was willing to give up her child. We were willing to give up our children because, you know, we were thinking, we don't know what's going to happen to us. We're going to live or die. But at least these children will be alive. But what God did, God inspired my wife to fast and pray for 3 days and three nights, no food, no water, absolute fast. And we prayed, Lord God, we have heard stories how Christians took Bible in restricted nations, how they were searched by the custom and the police. They did not see those Bibles with those Christians. Lord God, when we go this time to the U.S. consulate, you know, please go with us to the U.S. consulate as we present our Pakistani passport. They will not see these passports as a Pakistani passport. South African government have put a stamp on passport. That means that we cannot go anywhere besides Pakistan. Lord God, just close the eyes that they will not be able to see, you know, this stamp on our passport, our expiry dates on our passports. And we have no money to pay for our visa fee because I didn't have any job. In those days, I didn't even have a credit card. I thank God I didn't have a credit card because one thing I know, the credit card may decline, but Jesus will never decline. Praise the Lord. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah for that. You know, and what happened, you know, we start praying and fasting. And after we, you know, prayed and fast for 3 days, three nights, no food, no water, and we went back to the U.S. consulate. You know, we called the one church over there and asked them if they can give us a lift to the U.S. consulate. They took us to the U.S. consulate. And as I came out of the car, I prayed again, Lord Jesus, please go with us. And I felt that Jesus was walking with us. We went there and submit those applications. And the lady who took our application, she didn't even look at me who I am. And she gave me the receipt for 4 payments which I have made toward our visa fee. I didn't make a single payment toward our visa fee, anything. You know, I didn't give her any money, but she gave me a receipt for 4 payments. That was really amazing and unbelieving, a shocking thing, you know, what God is doing. Amen. God is a sovereign God. He can do anything, you know, praise the Lord. And then, you know, what happened? She said to me, come up for 3 days and collect your passport. And, You know, the guy who was driving for us, he said, are you guys going to the United States? I said, yes. He said, do you have money to buy plane tickets? I said, no. He said, you guys should have big bucks to buy 4 plane tickets. I said, we don't have big bucks, but we serve big God. Because since the time he has told me to be a preacher, you know, since that time till today, we're living by faith. He's going to provide for us. He thought I'm a crazy. You know, we have to have a 4 plane tickets and have no job, no transportation. You know, that I could sell my car. There was no car. There was no home. Nothing. And how are you going to have the 4 plane tickets for the United States from Johannesburg? You know? But the Lord said to me, this is your turn to fast for the next 3 days and 3 nights. No food, no water. I start praying and fasting. And on Monday, July the 12th, 1999, when we were praying, another bad thing happened. Our host family came right in the middle of our prayer and they told me they cannot keep us anymore in their home. They told me we must pack our bags and leave tomorrow. Man, that was so sad news. I don't know where I should take my wife and children tomorrow. I have no idea. I was so scared. There's a Muslims after us. They're going to kill us. Then the second thing, if you want to learn, you know, you should ask Brother Al what is happening in South Africa. The aid is ramping and the people over there, they believe that if you rape a little child or a woman, so you will be healed. I have no idea. It was so scary. But we kept on praying, crying before the Lord. And all of a sudden I saw heaven opened. I saw Jesus. It was so glorious. His hand moved like that. He said, it is done. A great peace came upon us. We start praising Jesus, thanking Jesus. I have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. But we knew when he says it is done, it is done. Please understand, this is the done deal. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to Jesus. And, you know, next morning, the church driver showed up early in the morning before we would be kicked out from their home. We went to the U.S. consulate with Jesus. We got our visas without any question, without any paper. We came back to this home before these people were waiting us to kick us out from their home. But, you know, before they will tell us anything, we said we got our visas for United States. God touched their heart right there. And they said, okay, you can stay a few more days in our home till you get your plane tickets. And we have to have the plane tickets before July the 23rd. We got our visas on July 13th. Because on July 23rd, we will be deported back to Pakistan and will be killed. We only have 9 days left. But remember, I didn't even have a credit card, nothing. But I have Jesus. We start praying and fasting and praying and crying before the Lord. You know, the day was passing. The July the 20th came. It was a noontime. I heard the bell rang. I went outside. There was a tall guy standing there. He came in. He said, my name is Peter. I want to pray with you. He prayed with us. And after he prayed, he opened his bag. He said, I brought these 4 plane tickets booked, paid, confirmed. You and your wife and your children are flying to the United States on July the 22nd, 6 p.m. with the KLM and Northwest Airlines. And your final destination is going to be Colorado Springs. Then I was told, when you arrive in the United States, they're going to ask you many questions. Where are you going to live? Who's going to be sponsoring for you? I have no idea. I was told, if you will not be able to answer those questions, they have a right to deport you right from the airport. And even if they will see your passport and the expired date or stamp which South Africa have placed on your passport, they have a right to deport you right from the airport in the United States. We start praying again. When we boarded the plane on July the 22nd, we start praying and praying when we landed there, here in America. I was standing in the short line to face the custom. And, you know, the Lord spoke to my heart, leave the shoreline, stand right behind the longer line. We stood by, right behind the longer line. And as our turn came to see the custom officer, this lady, she took our passport. She said to me, what will be your job in the United States? The Lord, Holy Spirit spoke to me, you know, don't answer, I will speak for you. I didn't answer. After 10 or 15 seconds, When I didn't answer, she said to me, "Are you guys going to be a missionary in our country?" I said, "Yes." And she stamped our passport with a big smile. She said, "Welcome to the United States. Here we are in this wonderful, the great country, the land of freedom and liberty. You know, praise the Lord. You know, I have sent, not by any organization, or not by any church, to the United States. I have been sent by Almighty God, the Yahweh, have brought me here in this country to warn you, to tell you how blessed you are in this country, and you are ruining this country with your, you know, with your political correctness. Wake up! You know, if I can, you know, if I can, you know, God told me to fast for 40 days for this nation, and now I'm going to be fasting every year for 40 days for this nation. You know, I was not born in this nation. My father, my forefathers, they were not born in this nation, in this country. If I can love this nation, if I can love this land, can't you do that? This is your country. Don't be a politically correct. Be a truthful. Stand up for Jesus. God is a sovereign God. Nobody's going to shoot you. Nobody's going to kill you. Speak the truth. Amen. This is my prayer for you as you leave this place. You know, stay strong. Let me tell you why we are afraid in this nation. Because we buy things without the money. Then we are afraid. If I will lose my job, if I will talk about Jesus, I will lose my job. You know? Who's going to be paying for all the toys I bought? You know? But remember, have faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? Only buy things if you can afford it. That'll be great. Don't use your plastic. That'll be great. Let me tell you, in the United States, for the last 11 years, we're living by faith. We're not hired by any organization. You know, for the last 9 years, every year, you know, we have to fill out the papers. When my children go to school, you know, the schools, you know, they go to public school, they ask us to give us, provide us the medical information for the children. You know, who's your family physician? You know, what is the contact information? What is the insurance policy number? You know what I have written for the last 9 years? Every year. You know, our family physician is Jesus Christ. You know, contact information is John 14:6. Policy is pray. I remember when I took my daughter in the sixth grade, the very first person we had to see was the nurse. And when she read those papers, she said, "What is this?" I said, "We are from Pakistan, and this is the way we do things over here." Amen. Oh, my dear brother, sister, you know, just be truthful, be strong, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the interesting thing, we don't get sick. Amen. You know, and Jesus is your physician, man. You know, praise the Lord. He will fix the problem. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He will provide for you. Don't worry about your boss. You should be worried about your boss up there. Amen? You know, we should be worried that we should be pleasing our big boss, Jesus. And that's why I'm not afraid to speak the truth. Because I live by faith. God is the provider. You know I am not going to be fired from my job. My job is 100% secured. Amen? He is the provider. May Jesus Christ richly, richly bless you. Have faith in Jesus Christ. He will meet your need. Amen? So, you know, please don't forget to drop those cards. You know, and if you like to support our ministry, you know, by any means, prayer, giving, you know, I'm not pushing you or forcing you, please. If God will put it in your heart, you can do that. But if you choose to write a check, write a check to your church, please. Not to me personally, nothing. Like that. Thank you very much. May Jesus be with you and may He give you a peace and the courage to stand strong. Let's pray. Father, we come before you in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for
this church. Thank you for the love. Thank you that they invited me to come and speak in this church. Lord, bless Pastor Ted and his wife and other pastors. Lord God, bless the elders and all the members of this church. Lord God, be with them. Cover them with your blood. And Lord, just increase their faith that they will be strong, strong believers in of the Yeshua, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord God, and be with them. And Lord, bless this nation, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as we have prayed, that Lord, remove all the evil and the bad leaders from the government, Lord God. I know that you have answered, but we want that you bring a total, complete, good, godly Christian government in this nation, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we pray all the plans of Muslims against this nation will never ever be successful. All the plans of evil leaders will never ever be successful. We speak confusion and total destruction over the evil plans against this land. In the name of Jesus, pour your blood over this land, O God. And pour your Holy Spirit upon this land. In the name of Jesus, Master. And heal this land, O God. And encourage your brothers, your people, Lord God, to stand in the gap for this land. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of Most High God, the only way, we pray. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Pastor.